Tracy Chapman. Before she made big bucks,
she makes big bucks.
We could say things on the air back then.
Oh yeah, we could.
With simple words like aw shucks,
aw big shucks,
we would be really awesome.
We would be real awesome.
And we would really rule.
Yeah, we would really rule.
Everybody would hear us. Competing schools. Can you do a bridge, Paul?
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna go
see. One day we're gonna control Boston.
Yeah, right.
And we'll get calls from even Brookline too. Maybe someone in South Yarmouth. We're going to hear they might be giants too. So much talent is wasted.
Oh, it is so wasted.
'Cause no one can hear us at all.
It's too bad.
But MFO is 18 years now.
Almost 20.
Almost 20 and 6 feet tall.
Oh yeah, right.
We could be really awesome.
We could be so awesome.
And we'd really rule.
Yeah, we'd really rule.
And everyone would hear us.
You know they all could hear us.
In all
You're listening to On the Town with Mikey D, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. We just heard Where the Bodies Lay from Mellow Bravo, and Where the Ground is Rust with Needles from the Milling Gowns. And now we're going to hear something from Township.
Working hard, all on your arm. Coolly smoking cigarettes with a blatant disregard for wondering who and what we are. And one of these days I might get the nerve to call you. One of these days you might answer the phone. One of these days I might dial the right number. One of these days you just might be home. Looking at our years and wondering who and what we are. Cracking jokes down at the local bar and wondering who and what we are. We played the ponies, we played our.
This is On the Town with Mikey D, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, and we have special guests here in the studio, The Winter Project.
How are you, Andrew?
Hi, Andrew.
Hello, gentlemen. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves to the vast audience out there, worldwide audience.
So I'm Chris Musil. I play guitar.
Ron Belanger, bass.
And Matt Winowski, drums.
Our singer's off on a world-renowned European tour right now.
Yeah, so now you guys have your chance to say what you've always wanted to say.
Exactly. Lead singer slamming all night. We shall begin now.
He's a busy boy.
Yeah, so for people that out there that don't know the history of the your EP and stuff, we can tell the story of how The Winter Project came about, because they might think it's just, oh, winter, you know, it's New England, it's just winter.
Well, it is something.
They might think that all that snow was your idea, you know. You gotta.
No, don't blame us.
It's your chance to, you know, set the record straight.
It is somewhat related to New England winters, though. So, three of us, Matt, myself, and the singer, are avid fishermen. this guy's an avid, what do you call it? One of those guys that jumps.
Do a lot of obstacle course races.
You know those guys that jumps in the mud and all that
stuff. So you guys do that ice fishing thing?
No, we don't do ice fishing. Okay. That's why we decided to, we needed some diversion over the long New England winter to keep us somewhat sane. And, we've all been in bands over the years and said, let's just get together on Sundays and see what happens. And just meant that... Only Sundays.
Yeah.
Built around the Patriots' schedule, and threw some songs together, and they sounded better than they should have for getting together once a week on a temporary basis. And so we decided, hey, let's go in the studio and see what happens. And 2 days later, we were pretty proud of what we released.
Wham, so, boom. Yeah. 2 days later.
Originally, it was just going to be a 7-inch project. We were just going to try to get two songs together, figuring we were only getting together once a week, and... originally, the plan was just put a 7-inch out just to have one, I guess, you know.
There's even, like, great bands that'll take, like, 6 months to write one song.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, yeah, some of these songs have been written over the course of, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them are stuff that we...
Oh, you had some stuff saved up. You didn't just, like, just...
Yeah, well, we've all been playing in and out of different bands, the four of us, for a while. And a lot of the songs were never, actually published on anything. So we took a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and pushed them together and decided we had a really cohesive sound, I guess, for all those songs.
Mm-hmm.
So we went in and with the intention of possibly doing all five songs in 3 days, and we laid them down so quick that we were pretty much finished in about a day and a half.
So you guys were just totally goofing off for the rest of the studio time, right?
I'm gonna say yes. Yes, that was actually.
You were like blowing bubbles.
I definitely
playing
was.
Like
yeah. I was done in about 3 hours.
You guys were doing Pokemon Go, right?
I don't think that was out yet. Yeah, these guys are crushing sandwiches, and I'm in there playing. You know, we did it by track, so there's not any live cuts. So everybody was doing their part, and the other three just sort of did whatever.
Mm-hmm. Whatever they had before that, Pokemon.
Yeah, a lot of Facebooking, I'm assuming. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that Facebook was probably around.
Yeah.
Is that obsolete yet, Facebook?
I don't think so.
I think for the younger types, it is. But for us,
well, that's because it's not cool because exactly. Their parents are on it.
Parents are on it. The grandparents are on it.
Yeah.
They can't hide away from
it. Aunt Mabel and Uncle Milton are on it.
So everything's Snapchat now, right?
Yep.
Make the text disappear.
It's funny. Chris and I were kind of waxing nostalgic walking this building. So this is a CD that Chris and I were in this band about, 15 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 98.
And we ran out of studio time recording it. And so tracks 7 through 12 were actually recorded in the next studio with...
Mm-hmm.
With Mikey D.
Wow, that's
Mikey
cool.
Mikey D was the DJ. Who was the... It wasn't Joel. It was somebody else. Todd Harrington engineered. I don't know if he's still affiliated with the station, but he was the engineer in the next room. And so MFO has been a long kind of history.
Yeah, so maybe we should play a track off of that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's a lot quicker to do live to two track here.
Yeah,
at
right.
MFO.
You think Common Rarity probably be a good one? Disappointment?
I mean, Alcohol's sort of like Greatest Hits, right?
I think Alcohol's got to be it. Yeah.
Let's do it up.
Right.
We got the technology.
So this was a band called the Meltaways, where Chris was bass, I was drums, and our friend who's now in L.A. was guitar and vocals. This was recorded live in the studio. What, this was 1990?
Written by Rickshaw. This was recorded, I guess, 97?
Before that.
Was it?
Yeah. Those years blur together.
That's like before Facebook.
It was definitely before Facebook.
I think, before the time before Facebook eventually is going to be considered prehistoric.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't scroll back to see what people were doing on your phone. So it basically doesn't exist.
You used to have to call to see if people were going to actually show up to practice. you know, instead of just group texting.
Call, yeah, nobody calls anymore unless they really need their money.
We're mailing out the postcards to the shows.
You know. Mailing postcards to shows.
All right, here we go. The Meltaways, Alcohol. This is going to be awesome.
All your money has been spent. Have gone away. Now you're alone.
Oh, that was pretty cool. The Meltaways.
Recorded here at MFO on the town. Saving us some studio money.
And then the Meltaways just basically just melted away, right?
We melted away, yes.
Like the Wicked Witch in that movie?
Somewhat. Yeah, kinda. Somewhat. Less glamorous than that.
Yeah.
Probably more beer than water.
And I headed out to LA and that was the end of that.
Yeah, the guitar player headed to LA to seek warmer weather and greater fortune.
Fame and fortune. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he found it or not, but
yeah. Did you guys lose track or?
No. He just finished a project he's doing. Called the Banquet Hall.
Banquet Hall. Yeah.
Just did a nice. They did a nice 5-song 10-inch. What, last year?
Last year. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good. With Paula Kelly from Drop 19s was in that band for a bit for another Boston. And then Todd from the Cave Dogs. So it's basically Boston musicians out in LA.
Boston moved there and. Actually, even Medford Malden area.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw the Drop 19s play once, like in the early 90s or something. And I think I know a couple of people that were in that band too.
Yeah, great band, BU based, minor pop in England, and it's good.
Yep. So, the Winter Project. Let's hear one of the tunes from the Winter Project. What do you guys think
Lock It Up.
Think Lock It Up. Yeah. Yeah.
So when did we write this song, Matt?
Probably before Facebook.
Way before Facebook.
This is an old
this
song.
This is before internet, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to rock this out in my parents' basement, actually, and the song kind of faded away for a while. But,
it didn't melt away, though.
It didn't melt away.
This is more of a fadeaway. Yeah. But,
yeah.
91, I guess, the song was written?
Probably, yeah.
First time.
Cool. Like, contemporary with the Drop 19s, maybe.
Yeah
exactly.
Yeah. And then they dropped, yeah.
So it went through a couple different versions, but it never got recorded, and then we did our... we just decided to bring it back.
And we gave it a nice winter project overhaul. It's got a nice, dirty, rich sound to it.
All right, yeah. So let's give it a shot.
Cool.
That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Definitely has kind of like an edgy, like, kind of sound to it.
Yeah, it's not Taylor Swift for sure. It's I don't know what it is.
We have a really good engineer too.
Mm-hmm.
Guy out of Attleboro.
Okay. Ian at Echo Room.
The Echo.
Give
Room.
Him a shout out. Mm-hmm. He was great.
An absolutely amazing year, and we sent them some really
rough recordings,
really garbage recordings from the basement.
Garbage is an awesome band.
Taking the iPhones and just sort of sitting it in the middle of the room, just get the ambiance kind of sound. And we sent those to him and, you know, told him kind of what we wanted to sound like. And he honed into the sound that we wanted. I mean, within minutes, he had...
Including tuning Matt's drums to and giving me a preamp for the bass. I mean, he had a... He just worked with our vision and made it sound.
And you guys, wait, we sound like that?
Yeah, exactly.
We're that good?
sound pretty crappy in practice, but yeah, that sounded good.
But yeah, like we were saying earlier, we weren't really expecting to come out with something sounding as good as it did. And we think we found something, a special symbiotic sound that we have here that we want to keep going actually more than just the winter months. So we've been getting together a little bit over the spring and the summer. We played a gig at Ralph's in May, and that was a lot of fun. So hoping to put together some more shows for the fall. We're gonna be in here in November.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah,
which should be a good time. So we'll do a bit of live playing here. Maybe we'll come out with some more stuff for the next album.
Yeah, and definitely have some ideas on what kind of bands you guys might work with. You know, after I hear another tune, it might change. But
right,
of like which bands it might work. But
yeah, we've got two videos that that Ron pretty much produced and put together, and of the first two tracks off the album, Ache and Late.
Yeah, so which song do you guys want to play?
Let's do Ache. Ache was kind of the single, if you will, as the first video. Pretty proud of it. It was one of Chris's songs that, you know, we really came together as a band. We all kind of added our two cents to it. And definitely sounds better than the early demos.
Yeah.
This is going to be a challenge to cue this one up, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Number one.
It's right there.
I'm pretty proud of Matt's drumming on this one, too. The drums, to me, a big piece of this.
Because we mentioned that this is on vinyl to all the vinyl collectors out there.
We did, yes. It's available, I guess.
It's really nice vinyl.
Thick vinyl. It's a great cover.
It's a 10-inch.
My sister put together. Great photos put together by a photographer that we work with. And made in the Czech Republic. Pirates Press Records pressed it for us out of San Francisco. Great company.
So basically you guys pirated your own
music. We pirated our own stuff, exactly.
Yeah.
Cut out the middleman.
That's right.
Put the parrot on the shoulder and the eye patch, and worked out pretty well. So yeah, Pirates Press does a good product. Street Dogs here in Boston, they're on same label, so it's good stuff.
So let's give it a shot.
Yeah, let's give Ache a shot. All right.
Ache from the Winter Project. Here we are. Back in the studio. That was a mistake. Yep. Well, so you guys didn't make the mistake.
And that is the beginning of Late.
Yeah.
So just for those listening at home who maybe consider buying the album actually has two channels, although it's hard to tell right now. I think something's funky going on with, what is that, turntable one, two, or three?
I think it's turntable one, yeah.
Turntable one.
It says turntable one on the board, yeah.
If you're interested in getting the vinyl, you can get it at CD Baby.
In the, and this, well, what about Vinyl Baby? Is there a Vinyl Baby?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think CD Baby came out, and then they said, oh, people want vinyl again. We can do that.
But one interesting thing about, for the vinyl collectors out there, one interesting thing about this EP is it is, it spins around faster than most of your EPs.
It does.
Because 45 times around that spindle per minute.
It does. So when we looked, when we were going to master it, we realized that our songs are on the shorter side and we could actually press it at 45, which obviously has a slightly higher audio.
Higher fidelity,
higher
yeah.
fidelity. So why not? And you can never have enough 10-inch 45s in your collection. Especially with handsome pictures on it like Chris and Matt.
That's right. There are handsome pictures on the back of all of us. And if you get tired of looking at those pictures, there's a nice picture of Bancroft Castle on the front.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was looking at this promo photo on your website, and it definitely looks like these guys might have just like buried something, you know. They found Sasquatch, and they like he tried to steal a beer from these guys, and they were like, "All right, this thing's done. Put it in a hole."
Yeah. Stealing a beer is definitely
still looking up at us.
That's a good observation.
Yeah, so it looks like basically it looks like don't mess with these guys. You just don't. And they got look at them. They all have backup. They have friends. Like towns full of people.
Our backup like, is backup. Yeah, it's tough stuff.
Yeah.
I think our band photographer was going for the tough guy look on some of those pictures.
Well, back in the 90s, that was the thing. You had to have street credibility.
Well, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Like you can't be like a, you couldn't have been like a hero rock star back in the 90s and look like somebody was going to take your wallet unless you were from like from the UK or Ireland or something. Then that would be a plus. Like Elvis Costello, look at him. Everybody took his lunch money. Right.
Well, you understand, we rehearse in a pretty rough area. We rehearse in Weston, Mass, and there's a lot of tough folks around there, so we had to toughen up our image.
Rough neighborhood.
There's a lot of jaywalking, and there's some there's some loitering going on, so we had to kind of toughen it up.
Yeah, they gave me an idea, like for if you guys were going to do a video that was just about the area or something, yeah, you could open up guitar case and just pull out like a tire iron. There's no guitar in there.
Exactly.
Those are legal in Massachusetts, right, tire irons?
I think so. I think if you're actually changing a tire, perhaps, if you're
probably not
chasing
concealed.
That down the street.
It's probably not legal if it's concealed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's the
so
issue.
So you need one of those, like, need one of those clear, like, Ludwig Vistalite guitar cases.
Right.
So you can see the tire iron in there, and like, oh, I'm not messing with the guy. There's no guitar in there. It's just a tire iron.
Exactly.
Yeah, we, you know, like we were saying earlier, when we got together, we weren't looking at anything big, and then, you know, we recorded it, and we said, wow, we sound like a real band. We should, like, try to do something with this. Oh, shit, we need pictures now. So we said, oh, geez, we need to call somebody and get some band
pictures. You guys know anybody with a camera?
Yeah.
You probably tried a couple with the phone, with selfies, and you're like, nah.
No, that's just it, is that we actually had a bunch of pictures from the studio that we were going to use for the back of the album.
Mm-hmm.
And Heidi, our graphic artist, when she went to go put it on the back of the album, she said, these are garbage. I can't use these.
Mm-hmm.
They look like, because they're, you know, you blow up something from an iPhone and it looks terrible.
Gets all blurry, yeah.
So we contacted Chuck Losey, and he's out of Shirley. And
did he pay you for that plug? That seems awfully pluggy.
He did, yeah.
What's his phone number?
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, but you can find him online.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some payola going on here. That's a little bit of a plug. I don't know about you, Andrew.
But he's actually the guy that took the cover shot. So
here's what we're going to plug. We're going to plug your guys' appearance here on the Town with Mikey D's.
There we go.
Let's do that.
There we go.
So,
which is happening November 17th. Is that right?
Today's, I don't know the date.
Yeah, it's November 17th.
We have plenty of time to call Andrew in advance and let him know. It's sometime in November.
It is in
the 17th.
Mid-November. Matt's pretty confident it's the 17th.
Yeah.
It's November 17th. We're going to be playing live here.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually hear through the walls the upcoming band.
Who's the Knockups.
Knockups,
cool.
Yeah, nice. They're awesome.
Yeah, that we heard them right here.
Yeah, Gretchen
awesome.
Was on stage with U2.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, she just barged her. She does what she wants.
She just stormed out there and said, "I'm playing with
said,
you guys.
I'm playing with
just
you guys,
deal
yeah.
with it." Yeah.
Then the next U2 concert, their bass player Adam Clayton was wearing a Knockups T-shirt.
Really?
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, this one. Every time I want to hate U2.
When they played here in Somerville.
I don't know. It was like their. It was some arena show.
Oh, okay. Because I remember that time they played down in Davis.
Mm-hmm.
So and it was just madness. You couldn't get anywhere near the place. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, madness! That's a good band.
Totally.
It was a good band.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Just wanted to get remind people. You know, because usually people want to hear. You know, when am I going to be able to hear this band play? You know, live or you know, live on the air.
Yes, we will be on the air, live, Mikey D.
And then, you know, if you guys have some gigs booked, then that'll be a perfect time to announce on the air.
Awesome.
So we can fill
perfect.
Yeah, fill the venue.
We're definitely hoping to have at least two shows this coming winter. So.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Then we'll go back in the studio in January for a full-length CD for next spring.
Okay, what do we've got seven or eight songs we're currently working on, so... Definitely excited.
Enough for like another EP.
Yeah.
I'm saying a full length, probably.
Yeah. Well, to do a full length, you know, at 45, it's going to have to be like as big as a large pizza, you know.
The old 16 inch records will bring those back.
People are going to have to get
turntables
like.
Turntables that big now?
People have to get custom turntables.
People have to get custom turntables now. Does anybody make them anymore?
I don't know.
Of course they do.
It's funny, like, you know, a lot of the young folks, they're like, oh, vinyl, it sounds better. And they're like, oh, yeah, I got this little toy vinyl thing down at Disturbing Outfitters, and does my vinyl sound great? No.
Well, it's so funny you say that. I was at the Newbury Comics the other day picking up something for the kids, and they have records now that are about $30 a piece, and the turntables they sell next to it are about $35 a piece. They're somehow missing the connection between the high fidelity and the absolute terrible turntable. So at some point, maybe they'll step it up.
Well, you could just do like, you know, get one turntable, you know, because nobody needs room in their house for furniture or anything. That furniture is all you can just download and 3D print that now, you know. So
exactly,
I think a lot of music isn't even being played through CD or vinyl anymore anyway. It's just really to have something in your hand while you're listening to your digital copy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people just plugging their iPhones into their stereos.
Well, people like to, you know, when people are listening to vinyl, they like to look at the package,
liner notes, lyrics.
Check it for flaws, see if there's any flaws in the package, you know, read the fine print, see if there's any... You know,
fine print, like you mean like this little stamp that says made in Czechoslovakia?
Yeah.
They
try to see if there's any secret messages in the fine print, you know, like that's how Charles Manson got started out. He was reading the Beatles liner notes, and then that's how he started.
Well, if you play Ache backwards, he's the same plug for that photographer he was plugging earlier.
Yeah.
Chuck Losey, call him now.
All right, thanks a lot. The Winter Project,
thank you,
WMFO.
So much for having us. Appreciate
now we're going to hear something from some awesome dudes called Psychic Dog.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Tornado.